Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton, and welcome to True Religion Radio. And today, we're going to talk about baptism. And of course, we're going to start out with John the Baptist. So John the Baptist basically went into the wilderness. What had happened is Herod had ordered his death along with all other kids in Galilee that were less than 2 years old. So his father, who was a priest serving in the temple, refused to turn him over. And if you read, you'll see Jesus Christ mentions him when he says, "You've killed all the prophets," all the way up to Zechariah, who was killed before the altar of the temple. So Zechariah, of course, was murdered by Herod for not turning over John the Baptist. More than likely, his mother Elizabeth took him into the wilderness and then she passed away. So it states that he grew up on locusts and wild honey in the desert. So you can't help but think that either Elizabeth lived until he was old enough to take care of himself, or there had to be someone else involved, or maybe some angelic intervention. I don't know. But I do know that when he came out of the wilderness, he preached the doctrine of repentance and baptism. And if you go back to Isaiah, it states, "Comfort ye my people, saith your God, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And then it goes on and says, "Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain made low. The crooked straight, the rough places plain." And so John the Baptist came, and what happened is the people, recognizing his authority, turned out for his baptism, and they were baptized unto repentance. That is the purpose of baptism. Now, the Pharisees also showed up, I guess in essence, to mock him or to show their disdain for what he was doing. And John said to them, "O ye generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, I don't know if the Pharisees got baptized. I don't know. But I'm sure John called them a bunch of vipers, didn't encourage them to. How does that sound? Now, you got to understand that the Pharisees were usurpers, that when Rome had conquered Jerusalem under Pompey, who was part of the first triumvirate with Julius Caesar, basically, prior to that, Israel was independent for a long period of time, thanks in mostly to the Maccabee revolt. But when Rome conquered them, then the priesthood became nothing more than patronage. And of course, when Herod was installed as the ruler over Judea and Galilee and Israel, then that patronage, or should I say those positions, went to the highest bidder. It's just how it worked. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees were nothing more than usurpers. They were opportunists. They were there for the money. And believe me when I tell you, they made a ton of money through their operations of not just the temple, but also of the businesses that surrounded the temple, which, of course, we know Jesus overthrew. So these guys were not legitimate rulers of the church. They literally were placed there with money, which made them the servants of Rome or the servants of Satan, right? Which is why they opposed John. So anyway, the people were baptized, right? And it says all the people turned out for the baptism of John. Now, John was shocked to see Jesus Christ also come to be baptized. And he said to him, "You should be baptizing me, not the other way around." And he admitted to the people that he was unworthy to even loosen the Savior's bootstrap. But Jesus Christ said to him, "Thus it becometh for us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, we need to do this so I can set an example. And so the Savior was baptized. And he came out of the water, and Luke says he was praying. And as he was praying, the heavens opened. And when the heavens opened, a voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And then the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove. In other words, either that was symbolic, right? or the Holy Ghost took the form of a dove. I don't know which. I just know there were two witnesses that truly this was the Messiah. And I'm sure the people marveled at these witnesses. And those that had faith were able to hear the voice. Those that didn't have faith probably heard thunder or something like that. But in the end, multiple witnesses to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Now here's where it gets interesting. See, Jesus Christ wasn't baptized as a child. He was John the Baptist, baptized him when he was an adult. Again, remember, Jesus Christ set the example. So the first thing we can conclude is that little infants don't need baptism. Because if Jesus Christ wanted to set an example, then he could have got baptized as a child, right? Some would argue, well, he had to wait for John the Baptist to become an adult. And I would say, no. Because his dad had the priesthood, and his dad could have easily baptized him if that's what was supposed to happen. But it wasn't. Jesus Christ was our exemplar. He was our example. And so what we can deduce from Christ's adult baptism, there's a couple things. Number one, baptism has to be done by immersion. The individual has to go into the water completely and then emerge from the water. That's a baptism. Paul explains that baptism is like going into the grave and coming out a new person. So it has to be by immersion, not by sprinkling. Sprinkling water on someone's head isn't a baptism. It's not a legitimate baptism. Baptizing infants who are without sin is meaningless. Now, other religions will argue, well, that baptism that they have as infants will last the rest of their life. But the point is this, is that the individual is the one who should be able to choose whether or not they want to be baptized. Otherwise, why not just baptize a bag of sand? It has the same effect. Now, remember the purpose of baptism. Baptism is unto repentance. So when an individual repents, they're brokenhearted, they're broken down, they go to the Lord, the burden that they carry, the sins that they carry, are literally crushing them. There's no child that feels that kind of way. There's no infant that feels that kind of way. Plenty of adults, right? So the point is that if there's no repentance, there shouldn't be any baptism, because baptism is unto repentance. And then once the individual emerges, right, from the water, if he's truly repented, truly humbled himself, truly has a broken heart and contrite spirit, then it states, then comes the baptism by fire, whereby the Holy Ghost basically will testify to that individual's acceptance before God. In other words, they receive a witness that their sins are forgiven. If that hasn't happened to you, then that's room for pause. You need to think about that. Because you're baptized unto repentance, which follows with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, people say to me, Paul, what about the Holy Ghost not being given while Jesus Christ was on the earth ministering? Well, think about it. I mean, if you get to see Jesus Christ in person, right, who is God, then do you really need a second witness from the Holy Ghost? No. Think about it. When Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, the apostles said, did not our hearts burn within us? Well, that's the same witness, isn't it? So Jesus Christ, as God, would have the same effect on those that were humble and contrite. Their hearts would burn with them then. They would literally experience that, right? Which testified to them that they were clean. Now, the fact that the Holy Ghost came later, right, for the apostles, number one, Jesus Christ made that promise to them and said, when I depart, I will send a comforter, right? The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he did on the day of Pentecost. Now, there were two reasons for that. Number one, so that the apostles could have a personal witness from the Holy Ghost that Jesus was the Christ. And also, so that they would have the power to give that gift to others, right? So just think about some of the concept that we're discussing here and ponder the question. The question is this. Have you been baptized unto repentance or not? If not, then you need to ask the Lord, what do you need to do next? Not me. This is Paul Drockton. God bless. Have a great day.